Ladies and gentlemen, this is William Tincup, and we are broadcasting live from Insights 23 in Las Vegas. I'm joined by Paul. Would you do me a favor? Would you introduce yourself and your company?
Sure, will do. I'm Paul Tucker, a partner with Ernst & Young, based out of Canada, and I lead our HR transformation and technology practice.
How long have you been with EY?
This is my seventh year.
And were you with a different firm? Or?
So before that, I was one of the founders of a company called Axiom Group, where we, I think we're running for about 16, 17 years. Another one of my original colleagues is running the company now.
Yeah.
And we had focused exclusively on workforce management.
I remember.
Yep.
I actually remember the company. I remember y'all doing a lot of good work. Y'all did implement the vendor selection and implementations.
That's right.
Did y'all just do core, or did you get into talent management, recruiting?
No, just core.
That's what
and,
I thought.
And I'd been working with David Ossip back in the WorkBrain days.
That's
really how we started Axiom.
Oh, yeah. WorkBrain, and then Dayforce, and then Ceridian, now Dayforce.
That's right.
Kind of the world makes a circle. So what brings you to Ceridian Insights? Why are you here-ish?
Yeah, so we're one of their lead sponsors, and we really come here to help to meet clients, help to demonstrate some of the work that we've been doing with clients both in Canada and the U.S. Support Ceridian from a partner. We just announced our alliance with Ceridian about a year ago.
Yep.
And we work with Ceridian all across sort of HR strategy through to implementation, and typically are implementing their full suite of their solutions. So really here to learn more about some of the innovation that Ceridian is delivering, as well as meet some of our current clients and clients that want to meet with us and talk about some of their journeys. So
hopefully some prospects too that are looking to to innovate.
Yep.
So what are some of the questions you're being asked right now by your customers? And we don't need brand names or that type of stuff, but just the things that kind of keep them up at night. What are those things?
Yeah, so I think one of the big areas that you hear a lot about is just experience and sort of employee value proposition. While we've kind of got over the hump of the war on talent, we'll call it, where everybody was poaching everyone from each other, we've kind of settled down to kind of, we'll call it the new normal, I guess. But at the same time, really we have an obligation to really bring value to what our employees are looking for in their experience. And so that's one of the things that we get calls all the time about: how can we improve our employee value proposition using modern integrated technology like Ceridian, where you can really get put some ownership in the hands of your workforce, so they can manage their career, whether that be through kind of looking at job prospects within the organization, looking at performance management, things like that.
It's interesting because some leaders that I interact with, it's very similar, or if not the same, but they're looking at it from a perspective of internal mobility, more opportunities, things like that. But also, how do we retain that talent? Because we could go and recruit and bring in new talent, but if a person's already there and they're doing a great job, how do we keep them?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's exactly it. So when we, when we look at helping organizations sort of transform the way they deliver HR to pay services, it's really critical that you consider, humans at the center, or the impact of the end user, no matter what the role is in the organization. Various personas they may have in their day-to-day work that impact differently depending on how you implement those solutions.
It's really important because so much of engagement, what we used to call engagement, is not a lot of people are paid to use technology. They use technology in their job. I mean, payroll clerks might be a little bit different, but by and large, the technology needs to be supportive of them, and they're not necessarily in their job description. Does it say that they have to be an expert in XYZ technology? So technology's got to be really easy to use. It's also got to be intuitive, and it's got to be connected to other things that make their life better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's it. Like, and it's, we don't expect these people who have been using legacy technology to embrace it right out of the gate.
Right. Right.
But part of the process that we take our clients through is really forgetting about how you're doing it today and really looking about how we're going to do it in the future. And demonstrate that actually, the 15 audit reports you had to run to validate pay are no longer required because it's happening in real time.
Because digital transformation has been around for a while, but it has, especially from COVID to now and even going into the future, I think it's taken on a new life of its own. And there's still some reluctance, I think, from folks in terms of like where to start. Mm. I don't think it's, should I do digital transformation? I think it's more or less, where do we, out of all the things that we can do in HR, where do we start our digital transformation? I know you've been asked this question for 20 years. So where do you, when you deal with somebody that maybe be a little cynical or reluctant, whatever that may be, where should they start?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a good question and there's no easy answer. But I guess what I'll say is, you know, there's different layers of technology and or solutions that you can bring to an organization. So it may be there's a service layer on the front, which might be the very first interaction you have with technology to get support within your organization to help you, you know, route a case or
right.
solve a problem. But there's obviously the HCM technologies that, you know, bring, you know, talent, HR, time, scheduling, pay, depending on where you want to go. There is also, you know, automation to help you get through some maybe some challenges you're having today without replacing a whole
right.
suite of tools. So it really comes down to where are you today in that journey? And if it's at ground zero, then maybe you don't go all right. the way to the far right of that spectrum, right. which is, you know, all automation, all HCM, everything. But really looking at where are the pain points today and how do you bring value to address those pain points without fixing things that aren't broken. So it's just, I think it really is, it's helping determine where you want to go as from a maturity perspective
yeah.
and where can we bring the biggest bang for the buck out of the gate.
Probably like a lot of things, but you have to audit and understand where they are in their maturity curve, right? Like where are yeah. they in their own world and what do they want to fix first? I love the way that you kind of position it. It's like, listen, we're not going to try to boil the ocean and do everything at once. Nobody, that helps nobody.
Right.
So let's figure out where the biggest bang for the buck. Let's focus there. Let's do that first. I've asked this question of practitioners a lot. And what they come back to is, I don't trust my data. I mean, this is privately, they'll tell me this, right? Of course, never on the record.
Right.
But privately, they'll say, I don't trust my data. Or they'll say, I need someone to help me interpret the data. Mm. Like, I feel like I've got the data. I might even trust the data. But I don't know what to do with the data. I don't know how to create insight. I don't know how to create action from the data. Do you get that?
We do. And I think, again, because legacy technologies, you typically are dumping that data to some data warehouse right. and you've got custom reports that you're using to make sense of that data. And that's typically, we see that when you've got solutions that are disparate and they've all each got their own database.
Right.
And,
right.
and you need
right.
you need some way to make sense of that because you can't connect it. But I think what we're seeing is obviously with solutions again like Dayforce, where it's an integrated platform, you don't need to overthink the data because
sorry.
It's there. You've proven the data is accurate and you can trust it because you've gone through all the testing to go from designing for the future to implementing and deploying it.
Right.
And really, it's a change management I think issue. Really, at the core of it is. You're building that confidence in the platform that you're selecting and that you're implementing and
yep.
and using that platform for that reporting. Now, if you need to do things outside of that, connect finance and other, then maybe you need to go a little more
yeah.
You know, advanced in terms of a data warehouse and things like that.
It's interesting that you mentioned kind of the integrated platform that Dayforce has. They've also got a nice ecosystem around it. Like they're not trying to do everything. Like I don't think any of the big ones are. There's still going to be things that is startups or other types of players are just better at, but it's integrating them into that that platform so that they can pull, they can get the data and the ecosystem. I think that's one of the things that's undervalued about Dayforce is like they've got a nice little ecosystem around them that if you get in and they start using the platform and you want a different or you want something else that they don't provide, they've got a way to get that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's some discussions and some announcements, I think, around integration, their integration strategy that you've seen.
Yeah.
And that's really, I think that's the key is bringing the ability with ease to be able to connect to systems upstream or downstream without having to write a whole bunch of custom code to
right.
do that.
Right, right. And taking the pain away for the customer. The customer just right. wants that thing, whatever that thing is, yeah. to be integrated with the larger platform. Let's talk a little bit about 24. I mean, it's October. We blinked, and it's October, right? So what are you looking at? What do you think your customers are talking to you about 24? What kind of trends do you think that you'll see, or are you already kind of hearing about?
Yeah, so I think, you would have seen a big announcement that we made around UI.ai. We've invested significantly in that space. And that's really, as no surprise, I was going to say that. That AI is certainly, I think everyone's just trying to understand what's possible. Can you trust it? What is the impact going to be? And how do you incorporate it in the work you're doing? Not necessarily to replace work that's happening, but I think to improve it and enhance the efficiency around it and probably bring in some insights you didn't know you had or could get connected to. So I think AI and learning how to and understanding how to leverage that in a responsible way, as well as, again, I go back to organizations knowing that they have to be able to attract and retain and engage the workforce. And how do we do that by leveraging the technologies that aren't going to, drown them in checklists and things like that. So to me, it's how do we leverage AI? How do we retain and engage our workforce? And then also how do we, bring all the benefits that we need to bring as an organization, focused on sort of, DE&I and other important elements.
Right. What I love about EY is y'all have always had kind of a keen focus on knowledge management. I mean, back to when I was in business school, y'all had, even back then, I'll date myself, this is the 90s, but they all had kind of a focus on how do we share knowledge? How do we learn something over here and make sure that people over here understand what we learned? And so that's just kind of in your DNA, EY's DNA. So I can see AI actually helping facilitate, because it's already in your DNA, facilitate that learning, that transference of knowledge, of learning something with one client and then being able to say, okay, there's 18 other clients across the world that also have this problem. How do we get this into the hands of the people that need it? So I think AI is going to be great for y'all, but also the customers that you serve, the HR customers that you serve, you're just going to be bringing knowledge to them.
Yeah, and I think even just supporting your own operation. So if you have a operating model where you're running payroll in-house and you've got a large organization that spans several disparate types of contracts or policy instruments, how do you help provide the tools to your support team in a very efficient way? And, maybe one of those answers is to leverage, something like ChatGPT to understand all those policy instruments and you ask those questions to ChatGPT rather than to looking up that in a document.
I think, maybe not 24, but beyond 24, it'd be really interesting for y'all to build your own large language model around just HR.
Yeah.
So that you could deploy that for all HR clients, because it's just there's a language of its own in HR. Your customers would love it too.
Yeah, and
they're not going to build it themselves,
right? And we've launched one that's being leveraged internally,
right?
Because you can imagine how much documentation and data that UI generates internally, and so that large language model is there to ingest that information, and we'll see what kinds of things come out of that.
That investment. So. I want to know more about it. And I know you can't tell me too much more about it, but that is fantastic. Tell me about what you the value of your customers that your partnership with Ceridian. You partner with Ceridian, you announced the partnership, etc. What do you think the value is in terms of what your relationship is with your customers and why you think it's important to be partnered with Dayforce?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I think the ecosystem, as evolves rapidly. 5 years ago was a very different organization.
Yeah.
And the market changes through acquisitions and consolidation and innovation and changes. So for me, I was really excited when we had the opportunity to work with Ceridian Dayforce, starting several years ago. As I mentioned, I'd worked with David Ossip back in the Workbrain days. So
you've got to see the whole thing.
Yeah. So I know a lot of the folks that were at Dayforce, and literally when I joined UI, it was one of the relationships I wanted to develop immediately, because I saw there was an opportunity where when they came together, Ceridian and Dayforce, you've got proven excellence in payroll.
Yep.
And now you're bringing the remainder of the HR to pay spectrum together, and now that they've got that on a single database, it's a powerful benefit to our clients, where you're not moving data between between components. You're actually so that helps us. I think bring some value to our clients.
You know, what's beautiful is, I mean, you've known the whole story, so you got all the way back to WorkBrain. But when they first started Dayforce, and when Dayforce Ceridian, before they actually did work with Ceridian, it was the best payroll technology in the world. Like, the team had built the best payroll technology in the world. And Ceridian had tried to buy and tried to build and et cetera, and it just couldn't work for them, just couldn't figure it out. When they brought those two together and then they made David the leader, it was, I think, so transformational, because it's like, we need to be a technology company. We acknowledge we're a great payroll services bureau, payroll company, but we're not a great technology company. Not back then. Back then, we need a technology leader. And then they allowed David to be David, which I thought was just not... You know, a lot of these acquisitions, there's a lot of egos involved. But this was one that was done so well because they just said, you know what? You're better at running a technology company.
Yeah, and I think culturally they really shifted and really embraced each other's cultures. And they found a really good spot. Our relationship working with Ceridian, both with their executive team, with their sales team, with their partner team, and their consulting team has been very beneficial for both UI and our clients.
So, yeah, did you come last year?
Oh, sure, last year. Yeah,
you were here last year. It's better this year. I don't want to say that too.
There's a lot more people here. Yeah, there's a lot more people here.
Okay, that's not just me. It seems a lot busier. I don't know if it's in between content or whatever, but it just seems like there's more people.
Yeah, there definitely are. Yeah, and so I came in just last night.
Yeah,
and I've been at the EY booth for most of the morning, and I think the foot traffic and the discussions are there's a lot more than there was last year.
I did the same thing, or a very similar thing, and it just seems there's an excitement, and again, it's nice the rebranding, having a new company name, and kind of the all of that stuff, and it's new, but it's actually going back to what its roots, which I think is also wonderful. Last thing I got for you, and you can ask me any question if you like, is tips, technology tips that you'd give people, HR leaders today, because sometimes the leaders, and probably some of your customers that you deal with or prospects that you might deal with, they're so far away from the technology that their people are using it, or their people or the people are using it, but maybe they're not using it. How do you give them tips around what they should be checking in on, how they get adoption, that you mentioned change management, which I think is wonderful. Like, how do you interact with them to where you get them to understand, here's what's going on in the technology world, and here's how you kind of keep track of it, or here's how you kind of game it or win or whatever?
Yeah, so maybe I'll answer just in a way where I'll start with some of the challenges that we see.
Yeah.
When clients are embracing, new technology, whatever that might be, a couple of things that I think is critical is you need to choose the right technology.
Right.
A lot of times, organizations pick the wrong technology for whatever reason, and then when that gets deployed, the workforce looks at the technology as being the problem, and it wasn't meant to be the problem, but it's just the wrong technology. The other thing too is. We had this discussion a minute ago, is really to take small bites, prove it, and really get the technology in the hands of the end user early, so that they understand, they embrace it, they're not afraid of learning all these new things. And then really, as I said, kind of stay close to the rollout, embed those teams with the consulting team so that they're there every step, and that when the project's finished, the technology has been proven. You've got evangelists within the organization, and organizations can look after it. So,
I lied and said it was going to be the last question, because I do have another question, because you sit at a Vista that's really, really fascinating. Because I deal with a lot of technology, and I also deal with practitioners, and I've found that sometimes practitioners think that technology solves the problem. And I've always kind of had the sense of, you've got to find out what the problem is, dig into it, whether or not it's a process issue, maybe a collaboration or a people issue. And then you can put technology on top of it. And that's great. But I think they think that the technology, at least what I've gotten in the past, is the technology is like a silver bullet. If we just implement, whatever, it'll solve the problem. I'm like, that's not been my experience. My experience is actually the opposite. You can put inferior technology on a superior process and it works. Or you can't put a superior technology on an inferior process because it breaks.
Yeah.
It just breaks in the same way that it broke before. Now, I'm stating that like it's facts. It's not facts. That's just things that I've heard through my own opinions. What do you see from your vantage point?
Yeah, I think that the only way that these technology transformations are successful is when the business is business led.
Right.
Right. So we're spending some time to understand requirements, but we're not really spending time to understand how you do it today. Because we're not going to want to do that in the future.
Right.
So we don't want to replicate old process and new technology. We want to transform process.
Right.
And just have technology enable it.
Right.
And I always say to my clients, in a software as a service world, we are playing within a box. It's that on purpose, so we don't customize, extend, and slow down.
Right.
So we have got some flexibility, but the vendor has established that box, and we need to take leading practice and help drive the most value out of that product.
I think that's why working with a customer or a partner like EY, because y'all sit on top of so many different customers, you kind of already know what works and what doesn't. And so you can help them with their process. I mean, they might have a wonderful process, or it might be 20 years old and it's just broken.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think that's one of the areas too, is that across our firm, I mean, we partner with all kinds of different technologies. So not only do we have a broad customer base, we know where all the pitfalls are.
Some of the bodies are buried.
Some of the bodies, exactly.
Yeah. Brother, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for carving out time for us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Until next time.